Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the tailgate. It's going to be hot the next 10 days. It's going to be warm. Upper 70s, low 80s. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar is indeed second to none, led by the Barrels and the Dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I received a slice of criticism from a friend last night, in fact. And here's the level of the criticism that was leveled at me.
This happened after the coach's show?
Yes. Mm. On Monday on our show, I mentioned that I had spent time with Bill Hillgrove, about 45 minutes or so at the Ron Moeller tailgate. And then I said I went over and spent some time at another tailgate as well. Well, the people at the, quote, other tailgate are upset that I referred to them as them and didn't refer to them, but it's like I blew it off. So I would like to at least set the record straight here. The Ron Moeller tailgate, of course, Jack and I always go to because I'm parked right next to the Mole Man. But then I do go and visit my friends at what we refer to as the Tom McGrath tailgate, featuring Julia McGrath as well. But the part of the heart and soul of that tailgate is my good friend Gary Goloshevsky, who's about as smart an individual as I've ever run into in my life, and also a great guy. And his wife Amy and their children, Annabelle, Elizabeth, Jack, you know, Randy and Mary Ellen Isles, and you know, the whole group of them. It's a lot of fun. And they were disappointed, well, Gary was, that I referred to them as, oh, yeah, that other group. To the point where they were going to make up a sign that said, we're that other group. Well, we can't have that. I mean, Gary's a big Penn State fan and wanted to make sure when we started this show, and since we started talked about Brewers Outlet and stocking up for the tailgate, it'd be a great place for Gary and Randy and Tom and everybody and Julie and Mary Ellen and Amy and the whole group. They should stock up at Brewers Outlet.
They like pickles?
They like everything.
I was going to say, we may have to take some pickles over to make up.
Right. Now, you are invited to both the Moeller tailgate and also to their tailgate.
That is awesome. I appreciate that. I have to stop over tomorrow.
In fact, I know Gary would like, Gary'd love to meet you. And as I said, maybe one of the smartest people I've ever met, but a great guy. But you know, I felt like I had to start the show today and
set the record straight.
Make things right.
You did it.
I'll find out.
Okay. Well, I'll be there tomorrow. I'd love to stop over.
No. You're an automatic invite. I mean, they were with the soup before there was restraining orders, and so it.
Don't have to worry about that with me.
I mean, well, no. They asked. I said, "Is he a normal guy?" I said, "Yeah, he's a normal guy." yeah, we're good there.
If you're stopping over tomorrow night, I'd love to as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's the other guy was a nut. No, I'm just kidding. So. And by the way, Sealands Grove is going to be playing at Shikellamy tonight on Eagle 107 and also on WKOK.
That's going to be a big one tonight.
Yeah, what happens, though, if the WKOK guy suddenly out of nowhere has an opportunity to make a digital media sale?
You do bring up a good point. I mean, the temptation would be there to go to the full-time job, right? You would think, yeah.
I mean, he blew off our show yesterday for a bunt single. So it's still going to take him three hits to get him home.
We'll bring him in. That's where we come in.
Somebody better.
I'll tell you what, speaking of baseball, thank goodness the Cleveland game was on MLB Network last night.
Yeah.
I saw it was tied bottom of the ninth. Like, yeah, I got to turn the football game off and get that on. And yeah. Great finish.
A little more exciting than what we saw in Cincinnati.
So I guess the question is this. What's going to happen first? Will the Cleveland Browns win a game or will the Cleveland Indians lose a game? What will happen first?
Well, I don't know. Will the Bengals score a touchdown?
Or will the Bengals score a touchdown?
They changed offensive coordinators today. Bill Lazor is now the offensive coordinator, the former Virginia OC. The NFL's dull right now. Dull. There's nothing going on.
I will say this, though. Tirico and Collinsworth, they were a great listen last night. They kept it compelling. It was a tight game, which was good, but yeah, you're just kind of waiting for something to happen. And you know what a great run by Deshaun Watson. It was almost like watching a Clemson game, that great run he had from 49 out right before the end of the half.
Yes, that was the play. That was the only play in the game that had any juice behind it, because everything else.
Yeah, well, those boo birds were out last night.
What? Yeah, but those are the neutral fans. Like, come on, do something.
And that sarcastic applause you got from the crowd when they finally put points on the board.
I know. That was bad.
They had every right to do that.
You're paying money to see your team score. Well, they didn't score a point last week. Yeah. Now, I know Houston has a lot of injuries. I mean, no tight ends, tackles are hurt. Things like that. I mean, so I understand that. All right. So, okay. But so far we've had a week and a game. And the only two really good games was one most of us watched, Kansas City and New England. At least that was exciting. And then one a good chunk of the country didn't see. And that was the Chargers and the Raiders, or the Chargers and the Broncos, because it was so late.
Well, you brought up a great point earlier this week when we had Neil Coulong on the show, the way you described it, like a fifth preseason game.
I mean, I feels like that to me. Look, everything's changed so much. Okay, did you hear Russ Rose last night on the talk show before James?
Yes.
He was talking about the country club the NCAA has set up. But in all sports, that's the way it's gone now. Where, you know, let's take the NFL. The NFL doesn't do a lot of hitting in the preseason. The NFL doesn't do a lot of hitting during the course of the week. And it's just... it's not as toughened up as it used to be. Now, the athlete is superior and... Everybody can run and things like that, but if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm a little bit worried. My product is not that great right now. Now, it's only 1 week and one game, so things may change, improve over time, but not exactly the scintillating start I think the league was hoping for, where people got out of the gate and started playing. I mean, we can talk all you want about, oh, the defense is ahead of the offense, and I don't mind an occasional tight November... both teams in the playoff hunt 17-13 game where the stakes are so high, the tension's great. But not in September. Not in September. That's not working in September. That game was... whew. Man. That was a tough watch last night. Coming up today, Michelle Marciniak's going to be on the show. Played for the Great Pat Summit down in Tennessee, and she has a fundraiser coming up. and we wanted to talk to her about that. Mike Conti, who's on the Falcons and Hawks radio network, and yes, is familiar with Georgia State, is going to be on the show today. We're going to have him in the next half hour. And then the person that neither one of us can defeat is going to be on. Is he like 11-1, 10-1, my brother?
What was he? 10-1, I think. Yes, 10-1. You and I are 6-5. Got a lot of work to do.
Oh, okay.
We're getting buried early.
Feel like after 1 week we're running out of time.
Yeah, I know. King Kev cleared the decks last week, going 6-0.
Wow, that's it might be over now. So what we'll do is we'll tell him today that, you know, because of his big lead, we're stopping the segment. Let's see how he reacts.
Take the rest of the season off.
You're done. What do you mean I'm done?
It's more time for you to watch Big Brother, Judge Judy. Okay. Clear your DVR.
See, he goes in, he's prepared.
He is. You can tell.
All right. Now, you can tell on the sports network when it comes time to do the Best Buy segment. Jack and I are sort of...
carefree. Footloose and fancy free.
Concentrated on one game. Not the three you're giving us. So, welcome to Let's Guess with Steve and Jack. Jack and Steve guess as to who's going to win. Well, I mean, thankfully, nobody has looked at us and said that, you know, whatever you say, I'm doing. Because I think they'd come out, they'd come after us. We're over there throwing darts, hoping one sticks to the board. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Penn State, Georgia State coming up tomorrow at Beaver Stadium. Mike Conti from the Atlanta Falcons Network and also the Atlanta Hawks Network is going to join us. And not from Atlanta. Mike's here, as a matter of fact. He wanted to take in the game before going back down because the Falcons-Packers game's at night on Sunday Night Football, so Mike has some time. So he's up here. Then Michelle Marciniak then at 4:06, and then Jimmy my brother at 4:35, with another opportunity to bury us. Now, what are the games we have today?
Okay, we're going to go 2 college, 4 pro for this week. We're going to go with Clemson, Louisville, and Tennessee, Florida, which they're playing that game in Gainesville. That's been relocated to Gainesville because of the weather down there. And then for the pros, Titans, Jacksonville. Eagles, Chiefs, of course on Eagle 107, Sunday at 1. Dallas, Denver. And as you just mentioned, with the Falcons game Sunday night, we'll pick Green Bay and the Falcons, too. So we got a six-pack of games to chew on.
All right.
There you go.
I know you, believe it, Sean is very fair, by the way. He does send these games out to us during the course of the week, and I'm a little busy doing other things.
That's the problem with sending it out ahead of time, because I know you got other stuff that takes place, you know, with teaching your class and going to quarterback club and other shows, taping the TV show, the coach's show. So it's like bam, 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 one thing after another.
Yeah, those are all good excuses, sure.
I did have Florida State, Miami. We were going to pick that for tomorrow, but then that game got moved, so.
Well, let's see, and this is maybe the point, maybe we should bring in a guest picker. maybe like my buddies Gary or Randy or whatever, that maybe we should bring them into the Sunbury Motors studio and have them as guest pickers.
Love that.
Should do that.
Yeah.
Now, this again, me making up for the rather, I guess, backhanded way with which I referred to their tailgate on Saturday, and I didn't mean to do that. It was just in the part of conversation, I was just shortening the story, but they were taken aback by that. Mm.
You've now brought this up a second time. I'm getting concerned.
No. I feel very guilty.
Oh, okay.
I mean, these are terrific people, and I mean, I'm getting stuff for free there anyway. So, hey, by the way, at Brewer's Outlet between now and Tuesday, Milwaukee's best light ice and regular 24-pack cans just $9.95. Right, that's all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Plus, Gary likes when I mention his name in the air.
So, well, Gary, it'll be a privilege to meet you. Hopefully, we'll get there tomorrow night.
You should. You should go over there. He'd love it. You met him at the wedding, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the same group. Just go over. You know, you're part of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the heck? I mean, they let me go over there, so obviously they take stragglers. So,
I'll just need to get your parking spot number off air, and then I can go from there. I'll be able to find it easy.
I don't know his parking spot number.
Well, no, yours. No, I know, because since you said it's right next door to yours.
Right next to the Mole Man. As soon as the game's over, we come down there, we're right there.
Yep.
Jack's there, I'm there. Mole Man, who's really kind of the star of the whole thing, is there.
I'll be up in the box tomorrow night.
Oh, you're up in the box?
I am. I was able to get a cred for tomorrow night.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. Kudos to Vonda for taking care of that in the office.
Vonda does a terrific job. A terrific job.
Yep, we exchanged a couple of emails and just needed to know where to send it to, and boom, boom, had it done in like barely 24 hours. Awesome.
She does a great job. Well, hopefully I can get that from the Steelers. I think that's the route I want to go with the Steelers for the night Jack is honored. I know it's an in-demand game because it's the Packers and the Steelers, so that is an in-demand game. But I'm hoping I can convince them to, because I've never actually had a press pass to a Steelers game before, so I would not be on a list. Maybe if I told them I knew the suit.
Hmm.
Because I know he's covered Steeler training camp before. I've seen the police logs.
Oh, hey, we're an affiliate down the hall, 100.9 The Valley. We'll make it happen.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
There you go.
Because, I mean, I know that they know about the suit. I've seen the police logs.
So we'll bring that up in conversation.
Today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. The only way it should be is with a new Ford truck from SMC.
Four city blocks of new Fords. Over 40,000 new trucks sold.
There's only one place.
One place you want to be in September for your new Ford.
It's Sunbury Motors Ford.
During the annual September new truck sale,
choose from over 100 new Ford trucks with F-150s starting as low as $23,994. Pick from 55 new 2017 Ford Escapes priced from just $19,380. SMC has over 275 new Fords with savings up to $13,500. And every new Ford is clearly marked with an orange sale sign, meaning the lowest prices of the year. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on many models. SMC is where you want to be for the annual September truck sale at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza
and at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket imports domestics microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Including Milwaukee's Best Light. That's the special between now through Tuesday. Milwaukee's Best Light Ice and Regular 24-pack cans, $9.95. Imports domestics microbrews. Best selection to beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, is indeed second to none. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Mike Conti from the Falcons and Hawks networks, and also a little bit about Georgia State, let's get to this day in sports history. One of the really great seasons any pitcher had was Joe Wood. Smokey Joe Wood, 1912, won his 16th consecutive game with the Red Sox. He ended up being a 30-game winner that year. 1938, Lloyd and Paul Wehner became the first brothers to hit back-to-back home runs in a major league game. It was Lloyd's last home run. Let's see, 1946, a Dodgers-Cubs game was called when the players, umpires, and fans were attacked by gnats. 1953, the National Boxing Association adopted a 10-point scoring system for all of its matches. 1963, all three Alou brothers, Felipe, Matty, and Jesus, played in the outfield at the same time. The Giants beat the Pirates 13-5. Nine-inning game, Steve Carlton of the Cardinals in 1969 struck out 19 New York Mets to tie the record. 1974, Fred Lynn hit a home run in his very first Major League at-bat. 1978, Muhammad Ali beat Leon Spinks to win his third World Heavyweight Boxing title. Let's see, 1979, Bob Watson became the first player to hit for the cycle in both leagues. He hit for the cycle with the Astros in 77, did so against the Blue Jays this date in 1979. It was at the game, my man. How about that? 1990, Bobby Thigpen of the White Sox, first reliever to get 50 saves in a season. Orioles, 243 home runs, new baseball record for a team. And let's see. The NHL locked out its players in 2004. They've locked players out, what, three, four times now? You wonder why Gary Bettman is just unmercifully booed in every arena? It's people just want you to play. Just want you to play. Don't lock them out. Play. It's for the good of the game. Okay. All right. Bring in Mike Conti now. Falcons and Hawks Network here in State College. He's here to watch the Georgia State game tomorrow night with his wife, who, by the way, happens to be both a Penn State grad and is a Georgia State graduate school grad.
I'm looking at Bob Taylor's Comrex unit here. I did State College High School football on this very unit for many, many years. So this is a good throwback.
Yes, you did. Yeah. But you know what? How fun were those years, though, for you? Were you just getting out and you just getting started? I mean, was it fun?
I talked to Sarah Gannum, who's down in Atlanta now, and I thought she had it exactly right. She said, working in State College when you're young, as I was, is great because you can make mistakes and no one's going to kill you for it. Yeah. And I made a lot of mistakes here, and thank God no one killed me for it because...
They keep making mistakes.
don't be modest. And I'll tell you, I was talking to my wife about this. This is special for her because she got her undergrad at Penn State, too, and then she got her master's at Georgia State, so that's why we're here this weekend.
Right.
But we were just sitting on the old main lawn a second ago, and we looked at each other. We were so lucky to have this and all of this growing up. It's just such a wonderful place.
Well, I get to a couple things. You mentioned Georgia State. Georgia State is with tropical storm. I guess it was a tropical storm right here, or is it still? It wasn't a Cat 1.
Irma was a tropical storm.
But it's the first time that Atlanta has ever had a tropical storm warning.
Mm-hmm.
And it affected Georgia State, even though they've had 2 weeks. 2 weeks. They lost some time this week, didn't they?
Yeah, their campus was closed. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure they were unable to practice at least for some of this week. And then, you know, they took the Braves' old stadium. They converted it into a beautiful 25,000-seat football stadium. It's terrific. I did a game there a couple weeks ago. Their biggest home game in that building this year just got canceled because Memphis, who they were going to play, had a game moved by the American Athletic Conference. So they've had a tough time dealing with the hurricane. I know they're coming in very late tonight, like 6:30, 7 o'clock. Yeah. But it's like we were talking about off the air. Be careful with these guys. I don't think they're going to win, but all of their skill people were recruited by Indiana, Purdue, Iowa State, Kansas State, those types of programs. So in the trenches, Penn State will obviously have an advantage. But out on the edges, Georgia State's got some guys that can play.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier. And as I pointed out, I said, look, a lot of these teams you look at, they got skill guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care who it is. This team has them. Penny Hard, 18. Really good. A lot of people would love to have him. Chris Smith, 17. A lot of people would love to have him. Running backs are okay. Mm-hmm. I like the two quarterbacks. Manning manages the game pretty well. He's got a nice arm, accurate, just runs a little bit more. And they got a couple guys on defense, like the Sullivan kid at corner, that can play.
Well, and talk to Butch Jones and Mark Richt about playing teams from the Sun Belt Conference.
Oh, yeah.
They've had scares.
Yeah.
And, you know, Georgia State's still trying to work their way up. They went to a bowl game 2 years ago. They did not have a very good year last year, and they made a coaching change. But you've got an SEC, technically a former SEC head coach, yeah, technically, in Sean Elliott.
Yep.
And you've got some guys that could probably walk on to some SEC teams on this roster.
So that's coming up tomorrow. Everybody will get – well, everybody's already seen with the Florida State-Alabama game and with the Georgia Tech-Tennessee game, the Mercedes-Benz Dome. And I know when I've had you on, I've asked you about it. Well, now it's a reality. I'll tell you what strikes me right away. The lighting in there is unbelievable.
That's the number one piece of feedback that I've heard is, wow, it's really bright in there, right? Yeah. And I've done some TV hits.
Is it LEDs?
Well, it's two things. So, yes, you have the LED lights, but then you also have this enormous, they say, 11-story tall Halo scoreboard.
Oh, yes.
That rings the field. And it's funny, if they're playing an ad on there for Coca-Cola, where it's a red background, the whole building turns red because it's really bright. When they're playing an ad for Mercedes-Benz, which has a black background, the building goes dark. So I think the Halo board has a little bit of a role in that bright light. But having done some TV hits down on the field there, yeah, it's like daylight indoors. And they're going to open the roof Sunday night, which they have not done for a game yet. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays with the lighting. But it's a beautiful building. I hope you get a chance to see it on January 8th.
So
I'm like for that. But but they did a really nice job. Really, really nice job with it.
What does it mean for downtown Atlanta? What does it mean economically to have that building in that spot?
Well, it continues to make them a player to host Super Bowls and SEC championship games. I don't really think they were in danger of losing that, but Final Four. It keeps the Peach Bowl in the playoff mix, because a lot of people don't realize the Peach Bowl and the Cotton Bowl, and I want to say the Fiesta Bowl, do not have guaranteed spots in the playoffs.
That's right.
That renews every 8 years.
Right.
Atlanta has tried really, really hard to make itself the college football capital of the world. This will allow them to do that. They don't have to worry about Jerry Jones poaching an SEC championship game now with his stadium or the Peach Bowl falling out of the playoff.
And that's important, because only the Rose, Sugar, and Orange Bowls are the only ones that have guaranteed three spots. If somebody else wants to come in with a better deal, they can do it.
Well, and look at what the Citrus Bowl did. They redid their stadium. Yeah. I know the Gator Bowl has been very, very aggressive in trying to get into that. It's an arms race with these stadiums, to be honest with you.
It is, but they've in the arms race, this is one of the crown jewels.
No doubt.
How much did it cost to eventually build that, and how did they make up for the cost?
All told, $1.5 billion is what Arthur Blank's people told me.
Yeah.
Arthur paid for $1 billion out of his own pocket. Okay,
right.
So the $500 million was not, it wasn't a property tax, or, you know, like you go and your school board charges you a property tax or an income tax. Or it wasn't like that. They levied a tax on hotel guests.
Sure.
So there really hasn't been a local public contribution to it. other than the personal seat licenses. And that has been controversial in Atlanta. In fact, they have not sold them out. The game on Sunday will be sold out contractually, but they're well short of their goal in selling all their personal seat licenses, which, if you don't know, is what you need to buy to have the right to purchase
the season
ticket.
To then buy the seats, yes.
Right. You get your PSL, then you get to buy your tickets, and they average about $10,000 a seat.
See, now, I have no problem with this. Like, put $1 billion of his own money into it. I mean, sir, I mean that Robert Kraft built Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones built Jerry World.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the only thing Kraft asked for was infrastructure. Look,
right.
I mean, give me Route 1, and like instead of two lanes, let's make it six. Let's try that. So I have no problem with an owner puts up so much of the money for it. And it's the ones that go out there and go, well, I'm going to need the public contribution to do this. That I've got a problem with.
The Atlanta Braves did that.
Yeah.
And that's still very – in fact, the Cobb County Board of Commissioners was voted out over that.
Yeah.
That's a historically Republican county. They raised property taxes to build a stadium the Braves really don't need. Braves wanted the mixed-use component of it where they could build a shopping mall and attach it to it and keep it open all year. And the other thing, too, with that $500 million in hotel taxes, it's going to pay for itself with all the Super Bowls and Final Fours and big events that stadium will bring.
See, this is what the proposal was in San Diego. I never really heard what Dean Spanos, how much he wanted to kick in. But what they voted down by a 58-42 margin in the 2016 election was taking, I think, from, I want to say 8% or maybe like a 10% hotel tax up to 14%. They voted it down. Now, why on... Okay, first of all, you're a resident. What the heck do you care how much they pay for a hotel tax? You live there.
Well, I'm married to a hotelier, and I see her giving me a look. Because in reality...
I'm talking about the residents.
Well, but... If you're a resident who owns a restaurant, mm-hmm. or you're a resident that owns, a convenience store or something near the convention center,
and now your
convention center is empty because no one wants to bring a convention in because the hotel tax is too high, it can trickle down a little.
It can, except everybody's got that.
That's true. Like Las Vegas and New Orleans, I think are the only exceptions to that, pretty much, right?
And Las Vegas has some built-in stuff that encourages
exactly. They have other ways to get your tax money. Right.
You know, that's a funny thing. You mentioned New Orleans. Penn State played in the 2001 NCAA basketball tournament. And then, in fact, that's the one time I was at Georgia State. I've told this story three or four times. Penn State practiced
at
Georgia State's arena.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, to get there, they had to go through New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
The big story in the paper that week was Harrah's filed Chapter 11. A casino filed Chapter 11? They said, well, there's so much to do here in New Orleans.
Well, you know what put Harrah's back in business? When I worked down there. One week after Katrina, that was the first thing opened back up was Harrah's, and a lot of people were spending money in there for a long time.
But they filed Chapter 11.
Crazy, right?
I think this can't be.
No. It can happen.
It can happen. It can happen without question. Falcons got up to a good start last week. They're Green Bay this week. It was last week enough just to kind of like wash and rinse and move on?
Oh, boy. I mean, the players and coaches say so, but, I mean, whether or not you choose to believe that, I guess, is up to you. I think every season is different. They weren't really crisp on offense last week. They averaged only 2.8 yards per carry, Steve, which, as you know, in the NFL, going to get it done. It was 24th in the league last week, so they've got to be better running the football. They're breaking in a new starting right guard, someone who had never played an NFL regular season game until last Sunday, and he got beat for two sacks. So that was a problem. But defensively, the Falcons are going to take a big step forward defensively in 2017. Drafting Duke Riley and getting him where they got him, not in the first round, and now he's instantly a starter at the Will outside linebacker. I think Tack McKinley, their first-round draft pick, is going to be pretty good when they can finally get him 100%.
Right.
Defensively, they're going to take a big step forward this year, and we saw signs of that last week in Chicago, but as you know, guys, facing Mike Lennon and facing Aaron Rodgers are two entirely different things, right?
They're quarterbacks in name only, all right? But what I've seen now in one week in one game, there hasn't been a lot of exciting football in the NFL.
Well, here's the thing.
And I want to ask you, is the product of a preseason where nobody played?
100%. And training camps becoming a joke now. Basically, there are no more two-a-days in training camps,
right.
And you get mandatory days off. This started with the new CBA in, what was it, 2012, when they adopted the new CBA.
Yep.
So you're right. No one plays in preseason. You know, Julio Jones for the Falcons only played 8 plays in the preseason. Devontae Freeman only played 3 plays in the preseason.
But there were 3 really good ones.
Well, one was a touchdown. You're exactly right. But the thing is, you know, I work with former players. Randy McMichael's my co-host on the Falcons. Right. EJ Shockley co-hosts with me as well. And they say it doesn't matter. You can get up to game speed without going through the preseason charade, as they call it. I'm not so sure about that. 7 teams in week 1, Steve, were in single digits scoring.
Yeah.
Half the league was under 300 total yards. Yeah. So yeah, you can say the defense is ahead of the offense right now, maybe, but... And now they want to reduce the preseason and get it down to 2 games so the owners can charge another regular season ticket price for a home game. I don't think that's going to help the quality of football.
Yeah, now this is going to seem like an odd question after following the scoring part is down. But I felt in the last couple of years, the way things have gone on the collegiate level, for example, that usually it's about the 3rd or 4th game tackling really starts to improve. Mm-hmm. Because now... by tackling in the game, it's allowed you to get back into tackling. Is that an NFL problem, or is that too much of an offset from what we just talked about, scoring and yardage being down?
Well, it's an NFL problem, but what I have heard is that the tackling problems are starting in high school and college now, where high school coaches aren't teaching tackling correctly. A lot of colleges now aren't tackling during the week. You know, they'll go thud. And then pro teams aren't tackling during the week.
Pro teams do not. That's a lot of people don't realize. Pro teams do not tackle during the week. I think everybody thinks they go out and beat the daylights out of each other all week.
No. I mean, Dave Archer, who does the Falcons games with me, was a quarterback for the Falcons in the mid-'80s.
Yeah,
they would tackle him when they would have 3 days. They, you know, Ryan Tannehill's injury in training camp was an exception, not a rule, and that was a non-contact injury. You don't see guys getting hurt during the week anymore because they aren't tackling.
I find that interesting, and I think that I know the reasons for all of this. Well, I'll say this. Buddy Tevens at Dartmouth, they were the ones that started doing the, you know, we're not going to hit during the week. And they actually won an Ivy League championship. But they've got that robot. Have you seen the robot?
I have not seen the robot.
Okay, now the robot used to could only do straight lines, but you could tackle it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess now you can make the robot move.
Well, I mean, I'll have to talk to a guy who's tackled the robot to see if it's good training or not.
Don't look at me. I'm robotic. I'm not going to tackle the robot. You got your Hawks shirt on.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Pray for us this year.
Well, they just changed the lottery rule today.
Right as the Hawks are trying to kind of touch the bottom to come back up, right?
Yeah,
of all the luck.
The lottery rule, which I think the team with the worst record had a 25% chance of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bottom 3 teams will each be at 14% to get it, which means if you have the worst record, the worst you'll get is 4.
All right. Which is still a good pick.
Which is still a good pick. But how if you don't have a triumphant, and maybe now after watching Golden State, 4 legitimate stars, can you compete in this league?
No. Because, you know what, Steve? Even in the 80s and 90s, you couldn't really compete. If you think about it, starting in 1980, you had to have Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Julius Erving, Larry Bird. If you didn't have one of those 4 guys in the 1980s, you were not winning. Or Isaiah Thomas. If you didn't have one of those 5, you were not winning a championship.
So you go ahead and then go with Worthy, McHale,
right.
Parrish, DJ, Bobby Jones, Moses Malone.
100%. Then in the 90s, you had to have Jordan or Pippen or Hakeem Olajuwon. It's always been a superstar league. The one exception was the 04 Pistons, basically, who had maybe one of the best coaches of all time in Larry Brown.
They had Rip Hamilton.
Well, whose number was retired for winning that.
It should be.
You're right, Steve. No, the teams I feel really bad for are the small market teams, like the Utah Jazz, who had something going there with Hayward and a good supporting cast, and now they've got to start from scratch because Hayward wants to play for a big market team. However, Minnesota, I think, is a small market team that can be very exciting this coming year. Philadelphia, although not a small market, had to go through years and years of the process to get to where they are right now. I think Philadelphia could be the most difficult team to play in the Eastern Conference. They won't win a playoff series against LeBron or the Celtics, but they're going to be a pain in the butt to play if Embiid stays healthy.
Mike Conti from the Falcons and Hawks Radio Network. Back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.